Welcome to tonight, Cuddling in a Blanket, Sharon.
It is a little bit chilly in here, but it did get, it was like this last week for those of you who were here, and then suddenly it became a bit like a furnace towards the end of the practice. And whether it's because we've been moving around a lot, or whether, you know, and we just generated a bit of heat. But the heating is on, it just with a room this size, it takes a bit of time to come through. So hopefully by the time we get to Shavasana, it'll be nice and cosy. But we've got a bit of a heating practice in store anyway, so we're going to be generating a little bit of warmth as we go through our practice tonight. So for those of you who were here last week, you might remember that we had stopped, we were at the beginning of a Hindu festival that's called Maha Navratri. So the Navratri part means nine nights. So we're now at the tail end of that, that celebration. And Maha Navratri celebrates the essence of the goddess Durga. So you might remember I was talking about her last week and how she's a kind of a fierce warrior. And I spoke about the some of the stories that involve her being on the battlefield and slaying lots of demons. And so the whole nine nights is a celebration of her power, of her strength, of her courage and her tenacity, and all the different faces that she wears. Because a bit like us, we have different hats that we wear at different times. We have our kind of our day job hat, or social hat, or our mother, daughter, husband, wife kind of hats that we all wear, and different aspects to our personality. So Durga is no different from us in that way, that she has different sides of her personality. Some stories say that she has about eight sides, eight different faces. Some stories say a few more than that. But in amongst all those faces are two aspects of her personality that we're going to focus on tonight. So one of them, so our class tonight really is a kind of class of two halves. And the first half of our practice will be devoted to the goddess Kali. And if you're not familiar with her and you can't quite see her image from where you're sitting, this is a very typical image of her. So you can see that she's kind of a dark black colour, and literally Kali means darkness or the dark one. So she's dark black in colour, her hair is kind of long and black and kind of wild, and well, it's lustrous, you know, like the raven colours, like a bluey black. Her hair is said to be those colours. And you can see that she's kind of got piercing eyes, like her eyes are stuck out on stalks, and her tongue is sticking out and it's dripping with blood, and she's got fangs. She's got a necklace of skulls. She wears a skirt of severed heads. And as you look at her here, she's doing a little dance, and she's dancing on her beloved Shiva, because it's said that when she goes into battle and she kind of is victorious on the battlefield, she goes into this wild, ecstatic, crazy dance, and she dances so ferociously that it's said that the whole universe shakes. And so what Shiva did is he kind of dove underneath her a bit like a huge shock absorber, so she could dance on him and she wouldn't shake the balance of the world. So he's kind of doing us a bit of a favour there. And then around Shiva, you might not be able to see from where you're sitting, but there's lots of different bodies there, lots of corpses, because Kali's favourite place to hang out is the cremation ground. So she is a character for sure. And I'm going to tell you a bit of a story about her just to start our class tonight. And it's when she was kind of birthed, when she came into fruition, because Durga was on the battlefield fighting a whole army, and there was this one particular demon that she was trying to slay, and his name was Rakta Bija. And Rakta means blood, and Bija means seed. And so he had a special gift in that every time Durga tried to chop off his head, as soon as his blood kind of spouted out from his neck, and as soon as one drop of blood hit the floor, another Rakta Bija would appear. So all these kind of bits of blood are spurting out, and more and more and more and more demons are coming up, and Durga was like, man, there's no getting rid of these blinking demons. I'm going to have to dig deep and find the most ferocious side of my personality to try and stop this demon, because it was kind of taking over the balance of the universe. So from this intention, it's said that Kali, the kind of real fierce one, the dark one, she burst forth from Durga's intention. Some stories it says that she comes forth from her heart. Some stories say that Kali emerges from Durga's third eye. But right there on the battlefield, Kali kind of jumps out like, ah, kind of really fierce, arms clawing. She's got a lot of arms, so lots of different weapons wielding. And she takes a look at the raptor Bija, and she kind of gets her sword, and she goes straight off with his head. But almost like in slow motion, she kind of dives in, throws herself under the raptor Bija. And as the blood is coming down, Carly opens her mouth like, and drinks all of the blood before even one drop hits the ground. And so the demon was no more. So he couldn't kind of materialize again because Carly had drank all of his blood. And so what does that mean for us here tonight on our yoga mats? Difficult sometimes to see the relevance of these stories, but of course they're all metaphorical. So the actual Raptor Bija's blood is said to be a symbol of all of our uncontrollable thoughts, all of those desires and thought patterns that agitate our mind. And if you think back just on a daily basis, how many thoughts whiz round your mind? And how sometimes we get preoccupied with one particular thought. And then it just goes round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And then it also blows up out of all proportion on occasions as well. And so they, if you like, are the raptor Bijas. Those little seeds that sprout up again and again and again are our thoughts that agitate our mind. And then Carly's tongue, as she goes under the raptor Bija to catch all his blood with a big her tongue is said to be the tools of the yogi. So the tools that we use, the practices that we use here on our mat and in our everyday lives to kind of ease up and eat up all of those desires and calm and center the mind so that we have clear, steady focus and so that we can our kind of own essence of vitality and luminosity can be really revealed. And when you see Carly, around you, often when I'm teaching my yoga teacher, Sianna Sherman, she describes lots of stories when she's been teaching Carly workshops, and Carly appears somehow in the environment around her. And that's happened to me the last couple of times. I was teaching a big Carly workshop when I was in Italy recently, and in Turkey, and the night before I taught Carly, we had the most amazingly powerful electrical storms. That is Carly in the house. She is a force of nature. Electrical storms, thunder and lightning, big tsunamis, tornadoes. That is Carly energy. Last night, I was doing something we're about to do this evening, and I was bringing my arms around in this shape as I was demonstrating something to do with Carly, and my bracelet literally burst off into the room, and there was beads everywhere. So that kind of destructive force is definitely a little bit of Carly energy. So we have to kind of be mindful when we invite Carly in, because she cleans house without taking any prisoners at all. So we invite her energy in, but we want to keep it balanced. So tonight we're going to spend the first half of our practice working with this ferocity, with this fierce energy, with looking at the shadow parts of ourselves and welcoming those in. And then we're going to balance it by playing with another aspect of Durga, which is the goddess Saraswati. And if you can see her from where you're sitting, she looks very, very different to Carly. She is known as the flowing one. Saraswati literally means the flowing one. And you can see her, she's normally pictured sitting on a swan or a white lotus flower. She's normally all dressed in white. She wears a string of pearls around her neck, and her skin is said to be as white as the luminosity of the moon. And so Saraswati, it's said that, again, another myth about Saraswati is it's said that Shiva, the god Shiva, when he opens his third eye, a beam of light comes out that is so powerful that it kind of ignites anything in its path. And so this had happened one time. Shiva's third eye opened, the beam of light comes out, incinerating and setting fire to the whole of the world. All the gods and goddesses are like, oh my god, there's a fire, what are we going to do? All starting to panic, except for Saraswati. She never panicked. She shapeshifted, because lots of the gods and goddesses can do that. She shapeshifted into a river, and then she carried the fire over to the ocean and placed it right into the depths of the ocean, where it's said that that fire still burns brightly to this day. And because of that, like that river of Saraswati became a sacred river in India, and there's lots of mythology, Indian mythology, about that river. But she is known as the flowing one, so therefore very much connected to the water element. And as we move on our path at the moment towards a full moon, we all know that the lunar current and the water energy are very much synchronized together because the tidal flows are on the earth. So our second part of our practice will become very fluid, balancing out the fire of Kali with the water element of Saraswati. So, tale of two halves tonight, because we're playing with the dark and the light of Saraswati, the dark of Kali, the light of Saraswati. And again, important as we move this weekend, the clocks change. So again, we've got the balance of light and dark happening over the weekend. We've got the run up to Halloween next week, which of course is a time when the veils between the spirit world and our world become a lot thinner and spirits can travel. And so again, we have that light and dark aspect over Halloween, as well as this full moon happening next week as well, that takes us more into the light. So a lot of plays about dark and light tonight. So to start with, we're going to come into a comfortable seated position. So however you would like to sit, you might want to sit cross-legged. If you can kneel, then come into kneeling and letting your heels come to rest underneath your sitting bones with your toes pointing back behind you. Any pressure on knees, you could always take a block or a blanket underneath your seat. And if this just doesn't do your knees any favours at all, any other seated position is fine. Just get the balance in the sitting bones. And if you're sitting with legs out front, wide apart with the legs so you're nice and balanced. I'm going to be here for a few minutes, so making sure that you're choosing something where your knees are going to be completely happy. And then let's bring our hands to our belly. So the hands resting just on the soft part of the belly below the navel centre. Closing your eyes. As your sit bones root down, lengthening up through the spine, letting the crown of the head lengthen away from your tail, softening around your jawline, and just becoming aware of all the sensations in your body. Notice how you're breathing, if you can feel the belly gently rising and falling. Noticing how the breath is moving, if it feels a little bit jittery or jumpy, if it feels like there's any holding in the breath. Noticing any sensitivity in your body, anywhere that's calling out for your attention. And then this dark space in the belly, the whole bowl of the pelvis, is said to be the home of Kali in our bodies. This dark space in the pelvis, said to be the womb of the universe. And of course, this is the kind of birthing place in the divine feminine. And of course, we have to have things that move on and shift and change and are destroyed in order for new intentions, new births to arise. And so this is really the essence of Kali, removing our limitations and our restrictions and the things that hold us back so that we can move into freedom and new beginnings. So taking a couple of breaths into your belly, breathing in, feeling the belly expand. And breathing out and feeling the belly soften. As you breathe in, feel the whole of the pelvis expand sideways, front and lower back. And softening the belly. We're going to start to add a count into the breath. So counting for five. So if this feels too much for you, just shorten the count to be suitable for you. So as you next breathe into the whole of the pelvic bowl for one, two, three, four, five, and then breathing out through the nose again, same count, one, two, three, four, five. Holding the breath out there, one, two, three, four, five. Breathing in through the nose, expanding, one, two, three, four, five. And exhaling through the nose, softening, one, two, three, four, five. Holding the breath out, one, two, three, four, five. Breathing in, expanding belly. Breathing out through the nose, softening. Holding the breath out. Breathing in through the nose, expanding, last cycle. Exhaling through the nose. Holding the breath out. And then breathing in and breathing out. And as you inhale, let's circle the arms around and up overhead and interlace all the fingers together except for the index fingers, shooting the index fingers up to the sky like the very tip of Kali's sword, reaching up strongly. Take an in-breath there, and as you exhale, let's slice through space, bringing the arms down in that same mudra and letting the fingers, the index fingers, point down to the floor. And just considering one thing maybe that's been playing on your mind, one thing that's been going round and round and round and agitating your mind. Maybe it's something that's just been going on for you today. Maybe it's something that's been with you for a little while. But just that one thing. And through our practice tonight, breathing, stretching, moving, our intention to really sever the ties to that agitation, to let Kali's energy remove it, destroy it, dissolve it, so that we can be more filled with luminous light. So as you next inhale, let's blink open the eyes, release the hands down, and you can bring yourself all the way over onto all fours. Do a little tap through your toes perhaps, or lift up your ankles, circle the ankles or wiggle your toes, but just bringing yourself into an all fours position in a way that feels comfortable for you. The heels of the hands just slightly forwards of the wrists, and the knees just slightly back behind the hips, and the toes tucked under. And then as you root down through your hands, as you inhale, turn inwards, rounding the spine and gazing to the belly. And then just like Kali drank Rakta Bija's blood, bring the heart forward, stick out the tongue and roll the breath out. Good, a bit more fiercely next time. Breathing in, rounding it. And then sticking out your tongue. Good, so a cleansing part of the practice. Breathing in and then sticking out the tongue. And last one, breathing in and out. Good. Keep the tongue in. Keep that shape. The heart moving forwards. Plug the shoulders in like you're holding little pencils in your armpits. And rock your hips slightly back towards your heels. And you're going to lift your shins and knees and press the hips to the sky into an easy downward facing dog. So as though you're upside down, like an upside down triangle or a V. Everyone, bend the knees down to the floor a little bit. So as you bend your knees a little bit, just separate your feet hips distance apart. Just check in that your knees are halfway bent to the floor. Lift your sit bones up higher to the sky. And look at your knees and let your knees, inner knees, be as wide as your inner ankles. Lovely. Bend your knees a bit more. The sit bones up higher. There you go. Beautiful. Lovely. Breathing in and breathing out there. And just rooting down into your little Kali claws, gripping into the floor through the index finger pads and the knuckles, spreading out the hands and really rooting. Inhale and rise up high onto your tiptoes a little bit more. And you're going to walk your feet forwards towards your hands, or your hands walk back towards your feet. But coming together so that the feet are hips distance apart, bend your knees. You're going to take your hands onto the outside of your shins with the fingers pointing down towards the outer ankle. Now, as you press your hands into your shins, press your shins back into your hands, Shoot your sit bones back, drag your rib cage forwards and keep that pressure in the legs. Not letting the knees drop together, the inner knees again, as wide as inner ankles. Inhale there, and as you exhale, with the ribs and the thighs glued together, start to straighten the legs just a little bit. Empty out through the neck, lift the shoulders up into the back. Bend the knees, keep that pressure in the legs. Bend the knees, try to get your thighs parallel to the floor. Stretch the ribs forwards, forwards, forwards. Good, keep that length in the spine. And then simply just start to straighten the legs, lifting the sit bones towards the sky. The legs don't have to completely straighten. Breathing in and drag the ribs forwards, the sit bones back. Try not to let your knees drop in and the knees wide. Good. And then as you exhale, keep the ribs and the thighs glued together, only going as far forwards as you can, keeping that connection. Lovely. And then as you next inhale, let's bend the knees again. We're going to take the arms out wide, press strongly into the feet, lift the ribs up. And as you inhale, hinging from the hips, come all the way up to stand. Arms overhead. And as you exhale, bring the hands all the way down in front of the heart to rest onto the belly again. Let's take our feet as wide as the mat. And we're going to turn our heels in and our toes slightly out. I'm just going to use my sweater. So as you next inhale, we're going to circle the arms around and up. Bend the knees. Good. As you exhale, bring the hands down. So as the arms part, breathing in, circling the arms around and up, legs straighten. And as you exhale, bend the knees, our little Sepana Mudra, our Kali sword, comes down the center. Breathing in, circle around and up, and exhale all the way down. Great. So we're going to do two more with Kali or lion's breath added on. So breathing in, and as you come down the center, big roar out. So really fierce, breathing in, and exhale, breathe it out. Good, stay low now, and bring the fingertips onto the tops of the shoulders. So the kind of elbows are still out about shoulder height. Inhale a little twist to the right, and exhale, forceful exhalation down the nose. Breathing in to the left, and out through the right. And you can speed that up. Inhale, come all the way up to stand again. Bring your little Kali sword overhead, our sword that severs that attachment to that agitating mind stuff. Turning your toes back forwards again, but still keeping them hips width apart. Let's first the arms open and catch and interlace the hands behind your back. Sorry, my hair stuck in my lip gloss. Let's take the hands back behind. And you're going to soften your elbows to the wall behind you. And notice my hands aren't locked out. I've got a little soft basket with my wrists. So as the elbows point back, hug the inner elbows in and feel like you're pulling your hands apart, creating lots of space across the chest. Take an in-breath there. And as you exhale, bend your knees, hinge from your hips. Try to get your thighs parallel to the floor. Snuggle your ribs in between your thighs. Reach the crown of the head forwards, like your back becomes a table. And lift the arms up vertically towards the sky. Release the hands down. Inhale, circle the arms around and up. Come up to stand, back to our little Kali sword. And exhale, take the arms back behind you, interlacing the hands in the awkward way this time. The way that doesn't feel quite right. Elbows point back, inner elbows hug in. We gently pull the fingers away from each other, stretching open the front of the chest. Take an in-breath, and as you exhale, knees bend, tracking toes, inner knees as wide as inner ankles, bringing the ribs down in between. Stretching the ribs forwards, bringing the arms up, looking down so there's no strain in the neck. Release the hands down. Inhale and come all the way up to stand. And as you exhale, bring your Kali sword down through the center again. That metaphorical severing from illusion
and delusion in our minds. Let's bring the feet a little bit closer together now, about hips distance apart. Make sure all 10 toes are going directly forwards. Let's take an in-breath and circle our arms around and up. Palms are going to face directly forwards. Let's draw the tips of the shoulder blades down the back and keep the collarbones nice and wide. So we don't want shoulders sitting in the ears. Draw the front of the ribs back a little bit. Bring your tail and pubic bone towards each other. Press down into the four corners of your feet so much that you're in a knees lift up and your thighs tone. And then look inwards. Look in and down towards the heart. And breathe softness into the heart, into the belly, into the kidneys. And as you look into the heart, we're looking into all parts of ourselves. Or everybody has a little Carly spirit in there somewhere. Even if we don't like to admit it, she is present. So taking a look in, take an in-breath, and as you exhale, lift up the chin and let's circle the hands behind us and take the heels of the hands onto your pelvic rim. Now that's the pelvic rim, it's that little bit of bone around the back body. Now you might want to get your heels of the hands on there. You might just want to use your thumbs, and as you use your heels or your thumbs, you're just going to lengthen the tailbone down. We're going to keep the legs super strong. And then as we take the heads of the arm bones back, squeeze the inner elbows together. Draw the front of the ribs back. And then give yourself a bit of a double chin and keep looking into your heart as you curl gently back. Keep the legs strong. A gentle standing back bend. Revealing all parts of the self, the parts that we hide from, the parts that we repress, the parts that hold guilt and shame. Welcoming all of the parts as you inhale, coming all the way up. And as you exhale, circle the arms all the way back around and up again. Palms facing forwards, standing strong in your truth. Welcoming every single part of yourself. Welcoming even the darkest Kali goddess part of you into your practice. Take an in-breath. And as you exhale, let's release and lower the hands all the way down. Great. We're going to step up to the top of the mat if you're not there already. And let's take our left leg and step it straight back behind us and across a little bit. So as you look down at your legs, your right heel is intersecting your back arch and your back heel is spinning away from you. So it's the furthest thing behind you. Now you're going to take your arms up to shoulder height. That's your measuring stick. So roughly, your ankles underneath your wrists. So get long, long, long. And you turn wider, wider, wider. Good. Yeah, that's it. Nice, everybody. Switch your legs around the other way, darling. That's it. The other right one. That's it. Great. Great. And then let's bring the hands down. Just take a look at this right leg. Make sure all 10 toes are going forwards. Going to spread those 10 toes out, and I want you to really press down like you're trying to push that leg forwards, but it's stuck in something sticky. So press into the heel, press into the big toe mound, and then we're going to roll the inner thigh towards the outer thigh, so the center seam of that leg is parallel to the sky. Notice that this left hip might have rolled forwards, and that's okay. From your waistline now, turn your waist towards the left, the long edge of your mat, and bring your arms back up. Look over your right fingers towards me. Take an in-breath, reaching slightly forward, lots of length between right armpit and hip crease. Then as you exhale, just let your hand drop down. Don't need to slide it down, just wherever it touches. And then squeeze the feet together. The legs are super strong. Reach the left arm back so you've got a diagonal line from shoulder to shoulder and to your fingertips. And then we're going to turn the top palm towards the crown of the head, bring it over and circle it down in front of the face and back up towards the left hip, circling it up and over and down. And notice as you reach the hand back how your chest and heart can spiral to the sky. Good, so keep the legs strong. And just one more circle with that top arm. Beautiful, everybody. As it next goes all the way up, reach it up. And then bend your right knee over your right ankle and bring your right forearm onto your right thigh. Palm will face up. Press down into your forearm and thigh. So you lift out of your shoulder. So you don't want your chin resting on your right shoulder. And then feel like you're making your back leg stronger and longer. And you're going to take the left thigh bone back, bring your pelvis forwards, and lean back with the top shoulder. Let's bring the top arm alongside the ear. Palm will be facing down. So we've got one diagonal line now from our left fingers to the outside edge of the left foot. Good. Just check in, everybody, that your right knee is rolling open to your second, third toe. It's not rolling in. Beautiful. Let's reach up with the left hand. Grab an imaginary rope. Inhale, pull ourselves all the way up. And as you exhale, release the hands down. Let's pivot on the feet, and you're going to turn around to the back of your mat. So you're going to turn your left toes all the way out to 90. And you're going to spin your right heel back into the room so it's the furthest thing behind you. Just check in that the distance between your feet hasn't shortened out any. Good. And then lower the hands down. Look at your left leg now. And make sure that the inner thigh is rolling to the outer thigh. And the center of the kneecap is parallel with the sky. Great. So you might feel that your right hip rolls forward a little bit as you do that. But that's okay. Take the arms up to shoulder height. From your waistline, just turn the heart towards the left side of your mat a little bit. And then you're going to squeeze your feet together, lift both kneecaps up so the legs are really toned. And then reach just slightly towards the wall in front of you. Look towards it. The front leg is super straight, as straight as you can without locking the knee. Great. And then hinging from your hips, pouring like a teapot out of the hip, and letting your left hand come to rest anywhere on your left leg. That's it, great. Just keep that straight in there. Good. And then turning your right thumb towards the sky, one long line between the wrists, and the palm will face forwards. That's it, great. Great. And then keeping the leg, front leg just as straight and strong as you can. We want to lengthen the underside of the rib cage just as much as the top side body. And then with the top hand, circle it towards the crown of the head. Let it come down in front of your face. Circle it back towards your hip and up to the sky. And just a few more like that in your own body.
We're all the same this way. That's it. We're going to keep it there. There we go. Beautiful.
So what we're about to do is what burst my bracelet open last night.
So we're going to do something that's called a kriya. And a kriya in Sanskrit usually is described as cleansing. And of course, Kali's energy is cleansing. She comes in and chops off the heads. She comes in and catches the blood. And she comes in and kind of sweeps out and clears all the stagnant energy from our minds and our hearts. So what we're about to do does that kind of clearing, but it's also a heating kriya as well. So it generates a bit of heat. So I'll show you where this is going. And actually, this music is so lovely and just not at all Carly-like. So I'm just going to turn it off for just a second because it won't add to the mood of what we're about to do. So what's going to happen in a sec is we're going to take another wide stance. We'll face the other direction though. And then we're going to turn the toes out and the heels in. And we're going to sit down. We're going to just do something with the legs first and get low into the pelvis. But then we are going to take the arms around and up in three stages. One, two, three to the top, our little Kali sword, interlacing the fingers. And then the arms will slice down the middle. But we're going to do that with mantra, and we're going to keep doing it for about 30 seconds or more, maybe 40 seconds, depending on how we go. So we're going to feel it in the legs, but we're going to feel that essence of being on the battlefield and like strong, strong legs and sitting in it and being with a little bit of discomfort. Now, there's a big difference between discomfort and pain in the knee, so obviously bear that in mind. If there's knee pain, you're going to come up out of it, of course. But as we take the arms up in those three stages, we're going to use Kali's name. She's often referred to as Kali Ma, M-A, because she's called the Great Mother. Because if you think of her home in our bellies, in the dark space here, it's kind of the womb, the birthing process. So things have to be cleared out in order for new things to be birthed. And so that's her Kali Ma. She's a great, great mother. And although you may not think it, full of compassion with a sword. So what we're going to do, and it sound and look like this, we're all going to do it together in a second. Okay, so we'll sit down and then we'll do this. Kali, 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 Ma. Kali, 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 Ma. Kali, 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 Ma. Kali, 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 Ma. You get it? We're going to do that for about 30 seconds or so. So you can stay low and let the ma, there's been a load of rugby on the TV just lately, and if you're a rugby fan, I'm not particularly, but I do admire their gutsiness actually on the pitch. And when they do the haka, the New Zealand team, they have this amazing, that, you know, their spirit comes right from here, and you can feel their Kali forcefulness when you see them in the haka. And so let that sound of ma come right from this dark space here. Okay, so it's a real ma. It's not like Kali, 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 ma. It's not like namby pamby, okay? Let it be strong and powerful. And anything that's really messed up your day today, frustrated you, irritated you, made your mind agitated, now's the time to cut it away, okay? So now's your opportunity to turn it all out. So let's take our right foot back to the back of the mat. And then spin around on your feet so you're facing the long edge of the mat. That's it. We're all facing the same direction. Great. And then you're going to take your legs nice and wide, good legs length between your feet. So nice and wide to start with. You're going to turn your heels in, turn your toes out. You're going to bend your knees now. And just check in that your knees are tracking your toes. So knees and toes going in the same direction. If they're not, then just making sure that you adjust your feet rather than your knees. Take your hands into your hips, and then just press down into the hip crease. Doesn't matter if shoulders hike up a little bit, but just get right down into the hips. And then take the arms away. Are we ready? And we're going to go on three. One, two, three. Kali, 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 Ma. 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 Last one. Kali, 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 Ma. Inhale, come all the way up. Woo. And then bring the hands down. Let the hands rest on the belly. Just turn the toes forward. You might even want to toe heel them in so they're not quite as wide apart. Come back to your breath. Come back to the soft part of your belly. And that practice, cleansing, heating, an opportunity to let go. And so having cleared out those dark spaces, having cleared out the agitation through our practice of Kali, we're now going to welcome in the fluidity, the purity, the grace of Saraswati. So as you next blink open your eyes, relax your hands down, turn around to the front of your mat and come all the way down onto the floor. The knees go wide, the big toes touch together, the hips rock back. And a couple of different ways for child pose. If you've got any sinusy things going on, don't drop the head lower than the heart. Rest on your elbows, cup around your chin. You can stack your fists and rest your forehead there. Stack your palms, forehead can rest there. Or hands can reach out ahead of you or reach back towards your heels. Maybe even take a block or a blanket underneath your forehead. So whatever feels good in your body, but just breathing in and breathing out there. And it might feel nice to sway slightly. I spoke in the introduction tonight about the river Saraswati and how Saraswati shape-shifted, picked up the fire that Shiva had created and dropped it into the ocean. So Saraswati is very much associated with the flow in all its aspects as water, the water of life, the water of the womb, the water of our essential creativity. And as I said before, there's such a strong connection between the lunar energy and the moon. So it's said that moonbeams kind of provide us with and radiate out a cooling beam of purity and grace. A nectar called soma that's said to be healing and transformational. So we're going to start to get into the fluidity of our own essence, the fluidity that guides us to our own inner knowing. So as you next inhale, let's reach the hands forwards if they're not there already, drawing yourself forward. You can bring the knees in just underneath the hips. And heels of the hands slightly forwards of the shoulders, fingers spreading a little bit, root down through finger pads and knuckles. And then you can just begin to circle your ribs around the central axis of your spine. And it doesn't matter if the shoulders move a little bit, doesn't matter if the elbows soften or if there's a more of a rocking action, but just trying to get some space, like you're spinning your ribs like a little barrel around the central axis of your spine. Noticing where there is a tendency to push, where you feel sticky or stuck, and also where you feel open and free. Let's change the direction. So noticing all the sensations, all the restrictions, and moving into that space with awareness and sensitivity. Coming back to the center now. And as you inhale, let's extend the right leg straight back. And as you exhale, bring the right knee out to the side towards your right armpit. And then draw it down and circle it back and around. So we're making little hip circles. And they can be little and spiral out, or maybe you just go for great big hip circles. Changing the direction a few times other way. Let the breath be easy and rhythmic. And as you inhale, extend the leg back. And as you exhale, stepping your foot forwards between the hands. Feel like your ankle is right underneath your knee. And do your best to wiggle it through so that the knee is completely supported by that right ankle. The back toes can tuck or point.
feel like you're dragging the back knee and front heel towards each other for a bit of stability. Going to bring the hands into Buddhi Mudra. Some of you might remember this from a few weeks ago. The mudra of water, the water element that we used for unification a few weeks ago. So little fingernails and thumb pads touching. Inhale, sweep the arms around and up. And you're going to circle the arms back as the front leg straightens a little bit or a lot and fold back over the leg. Inhale and reaching up, circling back. The front leg straightens a little or a lot, folding forwards. Breathing in, big circles. Nice and fluid with breath, sinking your movement to the breath. And last one like that. So next time you rise and reach up to the moon, reach up with the fingers, welcoming in the fluid nectar. And as you exhale, bringing the hands down to the inside of your right foot. Let's take the right leg back. Kind of easier to do that with the leg out of the way. And then you're gonna have your knees underneath your hips and your toes tucked under. My friends in the tight shoulder club, you're gonna start to walk your hands out on a diagonal like a V coming out of the back of the heart. My friends who aren't in the tight shoulder club, you take the hands parallel and you walk your hands forwards, bringing your forehead down to a block, a blanket, or onto the floor. Keeping the arms straight and strong, even if that means taking them out wider. Try to keep the hands shoulder width so the hands aren't quite touching. My friends are very flexible and sometimes bring the hands too close together. Great. Let's keep the hips right over the knees. Good. And keep stretching the hands forward. That's it. So you're literally melting the heart space down to the earth. This is called Anahatasana, the heart offering pose. So just visualizing a moon in a clear night sky and literally a cascade, like a little waterfall of nectar, of luminous light coming all the way down into the very back of your heart. The heart softening and soaking up that healing lunar energy. Take another in-breath there and exhale fully. And then walking your hands just slightly in towards you, you're going to slither all the way forwards down onto your belly. Point the toes back. Take the hands off your mat and come up onto little cupcake or spider hands. So you're on tented fingers with the wrists underneath elbows. Keep your head down on the floor for a moment and just start to circle the shoulders. They might circle both together, then you might alternate one, then the other. And that might start to spiral into more of a swaying movement. Imagine yourself like a little sea snake, slithering and moving, rippling. And this might grow a little bit more. Maybe a shin lifts off the floor. Maybe the legs move like windshield wipers. Maybe you come up higher towards a traditional cobra and roll back down. But I want you to just close your eyes and just for the next few moments, really be guided by what feels good in your body. Listening to your inner knowing, your inner connection to your own body and mind, and moving in a way that honors and supports your body. And your cobra is going to look very different to everybody else's possibly. And that's a good thing, because of course, we are all totally unique. So moving in a way that feels nice for you, more fluid, spontaneous, Sahaja Cobra. And then coming back to the center, hands alongside the chest, the fingertips just slightly lower than the tops of the shoulders. Lift the heads of the arm bones away from the floor. Stretch through the inner leg lines and click the toenails down. Inhale and rise, dragging the heart forwards as the hips and toes reach back. And then as you exhale, pressing up and rocking back again into our extended child's pose.
swaying a little bit from side to side. Maybe you've got your hands underneath your chin and you're resting on your elbows. Or maybe it's some other form of child's pose with the head slightly supported. Just a little gentle sway. And of course, nothing is ever still, of course. No, it might look still, but everything is constantly shifting, changing, and moving. So just connecting to your own fluidity. And then reaching the hands forwards, drawing all the way through to an all fours position. And we're going to do exactly that same movement again. So as you inhale, let's take the left leg straight back behind. And as you exhale, bend the knee, bring it towards you. And a few little hip circles. A few times one direction. And then a few times the other way. And then as you inhale, extending the leg straight back. And as you exhale, stepping it through between your hands. Wiggling it through, helping it out a little bit if you need to, so that the ankle is underneath the knee. And then bring your pelvis slightly forward so you've got more of the weight onto the end of your right femur rather than directly down onto the kneecap. Hands into Buddha Mudra, little fingernails and thumb pads. Inhale and rise. We're going to circle the arms back as the front leg straightens a little bit or a lot. Folding forwards, coming back through a little crescent, all the way up, arms circle back, front leg straightens. And just flowing with your breath, like a hands-free flow. Great, really lovely, everyone. Next time you come forwards back through your crescent, the arms reach all the way up to the sky. And as you exhale, let's bring the hands down to the inside of the foot. Let's slide that leg all the way back. Anahata Asana, again, so the knees underneath, the hips, the toes tucked under. And then we're going to walk the hands forwards, remembering go wider if there's resistance in the shoulders, but just melting the heart space down, keeping the arms nice and straight and reaching your finger pads forwards and down as you spin your upper arm bones slightly away from your face. Really melting the back of the heart, keeping the hips right over the knees, drawing the belly slightly in and up to support the lower back as you allow those moonbeams to really cascade into the back of the heart space. Breathing in and breathing out. Good. Very nice, everybody. You can walk the hands in just a little bit if you like. We're going to slither all the way through onto your belly. And just as we did before, we're going to let it be a spontaneous kind of movement. So it might start just shoulder circling with the hands wide off the mat onto little cupcake hands. It might start with rising up a little bit or swaying or a combination of all of those things. Let yourself just connect with your own creativity, your own fluid essence, your own inner knowing. Lovely. Nice, everybody. And then coming back to the center, more traditional cobra, the hands alongside the chest, heels of the hands about nipple height.
Your fingers aren't popping up higher than your shoulders. Stretch those inner leg lines back. Reach with your big toes and click the toenails down. Lift the head to the arm bones. Draw the belly slightly up. Inhale and rising. Heart buoyant and spreading wide open. And exhale and lower all the way down. Tuck under the toes. Inhale, pressing all the way up. And then just as we didn't miss it out on the second side, my back, then we're going to just ripple the spine. Imagine like you're a little salmon swimming upstream and you're making an S-shaped curve from the crown of your head to your tailbone. And just allowing that ripple to move all the way along your spine. Keep softness in your elbows, space between your back teeth, the breath moving freely. And once again, exploring all of your options. Exploring where you can create space, where you can create freedom and release. And then coming back to the center. Let's walk the hands in towards the knees. And you can keep your toes tucked under and roll all the way up. Now, if knees are sensitive, you might want to either double up your mat, so you might want to just double it over. You might want a little bit more padding underneath your knees because we're going to be in this position for a few moments. So we're going to come into a pose. We've been working with back bends a lot over the last few weeks. So if you remember, we started working with the belly down back bends or cobras and locusts. And then we progressed and we were doing some bridge poses, and we've been working with partners. And last week we were doing our bridge poses for ourselves. So this week we're going to do bridge pose, but we're kneeling this time. So we're kind of going back. And it's called camel pose, Ustrasana. So we make the shape a bit like we're the camel's hump, if you like. So I'm going to show you where this is going. And it's a lot of the things that we've already worked with over the last few weeks. So to start with, we're all going to take a chunky block. So if you don't have a chunky block, then you will need one of mine. So who doesn't have one? I know you what's going to happen first of all? So if you remember when we were doing our little baby bridge poses, lying down on our backs, we were in this position, lying down on our backs, and we're popping our blocks in and squeezing there, rolling the inner thighs in and down so that the lower back could broaden and spread. So we're going to use our blocks for exactly the same purpose. Our blocks are going to stay in between the thighs for exactly the same purpose as we come into Ustrasana. So we're doing that internal rotation of the legs to keep the lower back broad. So let's go ahead and place our blocks high up into the inner thighs, short edge pointing forwards. That's it. Good. Keep the knees over the knees over the hips. Now that would be really challenging in this position. Let's try the other way around. Let's try and keep the hips over the knees. And we're going to squeeze our block. And I want you to feel like you're trying to push your block to the wall behind you. So hug in with the inner thigh muscles and kind of roll it back. Can you feel how as you lengthen your tailbone down, that space in your lower back broadens? Can everybody get that? We want to try and keep that much space in the back, even as we let the spine grow and come into this beautiful kind of camel's hump shape. So we were doing a lot of the kind of taking the elbows back kind of movement before, in preparation for what we're about to do. So we're going to take our hands back behind us and take our hands onto the pelvic rim again. We did this standing earlier. So some friends, for wrists and things, you might just want to use your thumbs. Other friends are going to use the heels of the hands. So we're going to squeeze our block in, feel like you're pushing it back, and then press down on your pelvic rim and lengthen your tailbone down. Draw your front ribs back. Give yourself a bit of a double chin. Take the upper arm bones back, hug the inner elbows in.
And then we're going to lift the heart to the sky, extending through the hind skull, extending through the crown of the head. So you're not literally tipping your head back. There shouldn't be any real wrinkles in the back of your neck. Good. Inhaling and coming all the way up. And then let's move the block out, and you can just take a seat coming down to kneeling, or take your block in between your bum and your heels. If that doesn't feel so great in your knees, then any other seated position is fine. Just a moment or two there, just to let the spine rest. We're going to do it again in a second. So I'm going to show you where this is going now, and I'm going to turn around so you can see what's happening behind me, because that's kind of where all the action is, really. So I'm going to take my block in between my thighs. I'm going to take my hands onto the pelvic rim, squeezing into my block, pressing it back that way, remember, keeping this lower back area broad. Lengthening the tailbone down, inner elbows hug in, shoulder heads move back. Lower belly draws back, little bit of a double chin, starting to curl back. Some friends might reach and take hold of their heels. Notice I'm not doing that. That's not so great for the neck. So keep a little bit of a double chin and feel like you're trying to lengthen the hind skull. The occipital ridge is lengthening away. Good. Keep squeezing, keep lengthening the tail. And then as you inhale, use the strength of the belly to come up so you're not kind of trying to twist and turn and compress the vertebrae. So that's the next stage. Or you can just stick to what we did before. If, especially my friends who've got sensitive lower backs, keep your hands on there and just repeat what we did first time around, okay? So let's have another go with the option to release the hands or not. So taking your block back in between your thighs, bringing the toes tucked under, that's it. The toes tucked underneath, that's it. And then take your hands onto your hip crease in any form that feels comfy in your wrists and your hands. Squeeze into your block and really press it towards the back wall. That internal rotation, lower back broadens. Press down onto your pelvic rim now a little bit and lengthen your tailbone down. Draw the belly slightly back, the ribs back. Hug the inner elbows in. Take the heads of the arm bones back. Bit of double chin. And then lifting the heart up as the tailbone lengthens down and start to curl back a little bit, making that beautiful kind of camel's hump shape, like you're bending over a beach ball. Those friends who want to take hands back towards heels, feel free to explore that. Good. But don't let your hips rock back towards your heels. That's it. Keep the hips over the knees. Beautiful. As you inhale, coming all the way back up, squeeze in the belly and come back up. Great. Remove your block and let's just come down to sit again, just resting in Vajrasana in this kneeling pose so that the spine can just settle back into its natural curves after that nice Ustrasana back bend. So next week we're kind of moving away from back bends. It's the end of our back bending sequence, and we're going to do some other interesting stuff instead. So the last of our back bends for this term was Ustrasana. So let's rock our hips off to one side now, and we're going to extend the legs out ahead. Now, if you've got a skinny block or a blanket, you're going to pop that underneath your seat. If you don't have one of those, you're going to roll up the end of your mat so that you create a little platform, like so. And as you perch on the edge of it, get literally right onto the edge so that your sit bones can kind of root and anchor, and your pubic bone can tilt slightly forwards. And then as you come into this kind of wide straddle with the legs nice and wide out to the sides of your mat, we've got the pubic bone tilting down and we've got the heels digging down. And especially my friends who are very flexible, try not to press the backs of the knees into the floor. You want to be digging the heels down and feel like you're dragging the heels towards you, spreading out your toes. Then we're going to take our arms out to the sides and we're going to come back to our fluid essence.
waving a little bit from side to side. One little, in the 80s when they used to do all of the, I could never do it then, and so I'm not going to try now, but it's a bit like that, that fluidity all the way across, was it bobbity popping or whatever they used to call it. If you were good at that, you'll be good at this. So going from side to side. And this, of course, might spiral out again. You can close your eyes if you like, and it could just open out into a twist. You could lean back and side stretch. It could be a swaying palm tree rolling to one side and forwards and around. It could be leaning out over one leg and pulsing up and down. So there's endless stream of movements available to you. But choosing your flow from that place of inner knowing, from inner intelligence, listening to what your body needs now. And your movements are probably going to look very different to mine or anyone else's in the room. But just listen, feeling, and being confident to go with your own flow. And sometimes you might feel like pulsing in and out of something. Sometimes you might just want to go there, be still, and breathe into it. And often when I'm creating yoga classes, this is what my practice looks like. I start just by simply listening, feeling, and getting creative. And just exploring what feels good, what feels comfortable, what feels as though it brings opening and space and clarity into the body and mind. Next time you circle all the way around and up, let's help the legs come back together. And you can extend the legs all the way down the center seam. Let's bring the right knee up towards us. We're going to step it to the outside of the left leg. Some friends are going to want to lead the left leg straight out in front. But again, you're going to dig the heel down just like we were doing and spread the toes. So big toe mound, baby toe mound, press away evenly. Anchoring right big toe mound and inner heel. Some friends can sweep that left heel around the outside of your right sitting bone if you like. So that's an option too if you can keep the sitting bone down. We're going to take our right hand just back behind us, and you're not leaning back onto it. Have it pretty close, tented fingers again. So it's just like a bit of scaffolding, propping the armpits over the hips. And then with your left hand, getting creative again, just like a snake coming out of a basket, or if you like Strictly, a more flamenco or paso hand, reaching up. You know, Craig Revel Horwood loves his hand placements and fingers. Reaching up, and as you exhale, let this spiral to a twist to your right. So some friends are just going to hold the front of the shin or the knee, some friends into the crook of the elbow, some friends can drop the left elbow to the outside of right knee. And then as you inhale, lengthen up, root down through the right sitting bone, lengthen through the crown. And as you exhale, coiling inwards to the heart. Inhale, extending the spine, rising up through the crown of the head. Exhale and coiling in. Once more like that, breathing in, expanding. And this time as you exhale, a little bit more of a twist. Inhale there, and as you exhale, little counter spin all the way around to your left. Coming back to the center, extending the legs all the way out. And let's switch it up to the other side. So the left knee draws in, step it across to the outside of your right leg. Keep the right leg there if it's happy, or you can swish it around to the outside of the hip. The left hand behind you, without leaning back, keep armpits over hips. And then our right hand, spiraling up again, snake weaving out of a basket. reaching up, getting some length, and then as you exhale next, coming into a twist that works for you to the other side. Inhale and ground down through your left sitting bone, up through the crown of the head. And as you exhale, coiling inwards to the heart space. Inhale, extending, lengthening through the spine. And exhale, drawing inwards. Inhale, rising up, lift the breastbone up. And exhale, and rounding in. Inhale, extending up, staying there. And as you exhale, just a little twist again, a bit more to the left. Inhale there. And as you exhale, counter spin all the way around to your right. Coming back to center. And let's extend the legs all the way out. Give everything a little bounce around. And then coming into a comfortable seated position. So we're going to go straight into Shavasana, into relaxation, after we've done a little pranayama. So if you want socks or sweaters on, put those on now and grab what you need for relaxation. Letting yourself sit in a way that your weight is even across your seat. Maybe even kneeling just like we did earlier in the practice. And as you lift up your back ribs away from the top of the pelvis, just allow yourself to settle into your seat. And then as you inhale, breathe in through both nostrils and let your right arm reach up towards the sky. Make a little hitchhiker thumb. At the top of the in-breath, close your right nostril and breathe out of your left. Breathe in through both nostrils, right hand lowers, left hand lifts. At the top, close your left nostril and breathe out through your right. I'm going to carry on with that. Breathing in through both nostrils, lifting right arm and exhaling through the left nostril. Breathing in through both nostrils, lifting left arm. Closing and breathing out right. And carrying on, close your eyes. And remember at the beginning of our practice, we were counting the inhale and the exhale. So see if you can go back to that count. Breathing in for a count of four or five, and breathing out for a count of four or five. Alternating nostrils. And it's said that our nasal passages are very much connected to two of the main energy pathways in our body, the Urdhva and Pingala nadis, that equally are connected to the feminine side, the masculine side, the yin, the yang. One represents the lunar current, one represents the solar current. So again, we've got this blend of light and dark, and bringing them both into balance. Balancing out the fire, the feistiness of the warrior Kali with the inner intelligence, the inner knowing, the fluidity, the purity and grace of Saraswati. So just the last few cycles of breath in that way. Next time you exhale through your right nostril, breathing out completely. Bring both hands down to your lap, breathing in through both nostrils and out through both nostrils. You can bring the hands into Buddhi Mudra. If you want to stay here for the last few minutes of practice together, then do. Staying upright, particularly if you're a little sinusy. If you want to take a more traditional form of Shavasana, then gently come down to lie onto your back. Stretching out the legs in front of you. If you wish to come down, lie flat. Or you can bend your knees and have your feet as wide as your mat. and the inner knees dropping together to touch. So we're going to stay here for another 3 or 4 minutes, so feel free just to stay upright or come down onto your back. And taking time now to rest in your inner landscape, having cleansed the body and mind through our heating Kali practice, connected, reconnected to our own inner knowing through the fluidity of Saraswati. Starting to breathe now as though you're breathing in pure, white, luminous light from the air around you, drawing in the moon energy, breathing it in and allowing it to flow through every cell of your being. Every breath, that luminous energy flowing around your body, igniting your power of inspiration, of deep insight, of deep knowing. And allowing that God, that luminous light, to travel all the way through every cell, healing, restoring, revitalizing, reconnecting. Resting in the wave of your breath. Resting in the soma, the lunar nectar, drawing it in and circulating it around your cells with every breath. Beginning to deepen your breath now and beginning to connect to that feeling of lightness within you. Having done our severing practice through Kali, you might feel like you've literally lifted a weight off your shoulders. You might feel lightness that way. You might feel lightness like inner radiance from the inside out. But just connecting to the form of lightness within you. Beginning to move your fingers and toes as you breathe down all the way into your legs. Breathe down into your fingers, stretching the fingers, the arms, maybe rolling the head a little bit side to side. If you're lying down on your back, you can take a full body stretch along the length of your mat, or if you're upright, stretching the arms overhead, maybe reaching the legs out in front. Then as you exhale, let the arms float down to your sides, rolling to one side if you're lying down onto your back, pressing the floor away and bringing yourself around and up, bringing your left hand to your heart space, your right hand over the top of your left, and bowing inwards to your own heart altar, your own sacred place within you, your own heart teacher. And may we each call upon Kali when we need her strength to clear out, refocus, and sever the binds that agitate us and hold us back. And may we call on the goddess Saraswati to help us reconnect to our own inner intelligence, our own creativity. And may the light in me honor and bless the light in you. Namaste.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.